We know how unworthy we are to be your beloved.
Yes.
We would not even venture to come before you and think that we could have such a relationship with you if it were not for the incredible show of love and mercy and grace that you've made known. What you've promised, what you've told us, the giving of your Son. Father, we come trembling. We want to be your beloved.
Yes.
We want to be your friend.
Yes.
We want to be in a close relationship where you aren't insulted, you're not offended, you're not grieved, you're not angry. We want to see you smile. We want to know that we're cherished. This is not because of who we are. It's because of our repentance. It's because of what we do. It's not just because we're so special and wonderful. But you love those who love you. You love those who repent and come to you. You love those who believe you. Abraham was just a man on the earth until he loved you and believed you and obeyed you. He became your friend. We can become your friend that way. When our love does not wax cold. When we do not bow to Baal and kiss him. When we do not follow after another Jesus. When you see us jealous for you. Earnest for you, seeking after you, then we find a special place in your heart. What a privilege. What an opportunity.
Yes.
Father, we don't deserve that kind of opportunity. Thank you. Thank you that we can actually feel like it's possible. We can actually believe your word and know that we can be your beloved. And Father, you will be watching to see who really cares. I hope everyone in this room determines that they will be the one. May it be so, Father. Help our dullness. Your love is so much greater than our love. Fill us with your love that we might love you. For we only give back to you that which you have given, that which you have filled us with and helped us to see. Fill us with your love that we might love you more. Give us greater understanding that we might please our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our coming King. Help us to see your preferences, Father. Help us to heed your call. We thank you. We thank you for this week. We thank you for the preaching. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God being broken like bread and passed around in sizes that we could eat and understand, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so we can get it. Father, if our love has begun to wax cold, just simply because of a lack of investment in the relationship, oh Lord, help it to alarm us, to grieve us. Help us to determine to make up for lost time. We live in an age where the world hates you. We live in an environment where they hate you, Father. Let it not affect our affection. Let it not affect our love for you. We don't want it to rub off on us.
Yes.
Help us to never be ashamed of our relationship, our position, who we belong to. Thank you in Jesus' name. Anyone have a word of testimony, a thought you would like to share?
I know we've had a long week. We've had a wonderful week. I want you to listen close this morning, though. I don't think there is any message more important to your ability to endure and overcome and be saved ultimately. So turn to Psalm 92. We're going to read Psalm 92. And then we're going to talk about a very important concept here that we can learn from the Psalms. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of an unicorn. Or a rhinoceros, if you would, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I want to zero in on the phrase, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I want you to keep that principle in mind as we look at some other passages. I want to talk about fresh oil this morning, the principle. In 1 Samuel 10, and if you don't want to try and keep up with me in turning, just listen up. But in 1 Samuel chapter 10, we have the account of the anointing in the first 11 verses there of Saul. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now, we know that the anointing of oil was just a ceremonial act, but it was a picture of God's pouring out his Holy Spirit, God equipping, God giving this man what he needed. In other words, this is God anointing Saul with what Saul had to have to do God's work and fulfill God's commission. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find 2 men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelza. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee 3 men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying 3 kids and another carrying 3 loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee 2 loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come hither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy. Likely they are singing, okay? And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. Behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesieth among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Saul had been anointed. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was another man. Everybody that saw it knew something's happened to Saul. He's out there singing with the prophets. He's going along with the prophets. It was something new and different. In 1 Samuel 16, we find another young man just like Saul. And begin reading in verse 1 through 14. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What's he looking for? He's looking for someone to anoint. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Both young men, fine young men, top-notch young men of Israel, both started with the same anointing of God's Spirit. What happened? We find that David highly valued that anointing. It understood its value and it understood that it had to be maintained. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And in the Greek, it is the present imperative tense and it means be being filled. Keep on being filled. There's a continual replenishment spoken of here. Be being filled with the Spirit. In life, I can remember back to the first time that I believe the Spirit of God came into my life. I was a new man. I had a new heart. I was 15 years old. I went forward in a camp service. I'd been raised in church. I'd gone to the altar before. I'd prayed numerous times. I'd been to revival meetings. I'd been to camp before. None of this was new. But there was one thing that was new. And when I knelt at that front pew, and my heart broke before God, and I poured out my heart before God, and what I said to God that time was very unique. I've thought about it many times afterwards and thought, interesting that that came to your mind. I said, God, really forgive me this time. I left that building a new person. I knew without a doubt that my heart was clean before God. I knew that I had a commission on my life. I knew that there was a purpose in my life. But I can tell you that due to distraction, sin, a lack of communion with God, emotional exhaustion, uncertainty about the future, not knowing what to do next, meeting trials and tribulations, being broadsided by things in life that I didn't expect, I can tell you that there is a need in that anointing to be renewed. In Matthew 24, we find a very familiar verse. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be stumbled or offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because such iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What was needed? What's the difference between the one who, because all this abounds around him, the iniquity abounds, the challenges abound, they're killing people, they're betraying people. People are betrayed, people are stumbled, people are, false prophets are rising, all of this is going on. What is the difference between someone whose love waxes cold and someone who endures to the end? Fresh oil.
Amen.
Fresh oil is the difference. I look in the Bible, I see Moses. Moses working so hard, and yet the people so disappointed him. In Exodus 32, he comes back up to God after going down there and breaking the Ten Commandments, grinding the calves of powder and making them eat it. He comes back up to God and he says, "Oh God, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." So discouraged. I see Joshua after Ai. His expectations were dashed. Confusion reigns. What now? And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back before the enemies?" There was a great need right there for Joshua. He needed something. He had been anointed. Right now he needed some fresh oil. I see when Joab and Abishai ruined David's diplomacy and killed Abner, and they were right on the brink of bringing all of Israel to David. David says, "I am weak this day, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zariah, are too hard for me." He felt empty. I see Elijah at Mount Horeb. He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life." I see Nehemiah continually dealing with the treachery of the people, having communications with Tobiah and Sanballat while he's trying to work for them. I see Jeremiah trying to save his people only to be falsely accused of having a secret alliance with the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. You have come into places in your life, I'm sure. The principle of fresh oil is a necessary principle. You cannot make it to the end without it. Turn to Psalm 73. I want to talk to you about the power. The principle and the power. I want you to notice as Asaph shares his testimony here. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not troubled as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. What good has it done me? For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, if I actually share what I think and how I feel right now, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. In other words, if I speak what I actually feel, I'm going to stumble somebody. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You ever been there? Asaph had been anointed. Saul had been anointed. David had been anointed. Joshua had been anointed. But they come to times in their life when you feel like you're empty. You know, my illustration this morning that I kicked. These are two specially designed jugs that are made by Kraft for our dairy. We use them, we put milk in them. People take the milk and bring it back. What is that? That's the lid. You put the lid inside, right? Oftentimes I go to the parlor and I find this. Can I use that? That will not do me any good. If you fill it with milk, what's going to happen? Somebody returned it without a lid. You say, Brother Mark, that's the best illustration you could come up with. There's something in that one. It's a necessary component. It makes it a usable vessel. I often go to the parlor and I go to reach in and pull that one out. It's like, useless. Totally useless. There's something missing. There's something missing in Asaph. Asaph right now is totally unusable. God can't use him. He's worthless for the kingdom of God. But listen to this. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. I went into the sanctuary of God. I got some fresh oil. I went and got some fresh oil. Then understood I therein. Oh, I got a fresh anointing of my understanding. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. I got a fresh understanding of God. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. I got a fresh understanding of their future. I got along with God. I came into the house of God. I got into the Word of God. I got a fresh anointing, some fresh oil. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Whenever you receive fresh oil, it clears your eyes, it clears your mind, it clears your heart. And you realize, why did I think all that? You see life totally different. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. God is my portion forevermore. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is a good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy wondrous works. Fresh oil. The power of fresh oil. I find David coming back and finding Ziklag burned. And the people, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his son and his daughters. But David said, bring hither the ephod. Call me the priest. He inquired of God, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He needed, right there, he needed some fresh oil. He couldn't go on just like he was. You're going to face these times. And you're going to either end up like a David, or you're going to end up like a Saul.
Yes.
In David's life, it was the matter of fresh oil, the anointing of fresh oil that kept David going all the way to the end, in spite of his own sin, in spite of his stupidity, in spite of his failures, in spite of the disappointment of those around him, being betrayed, being slandered. None of it stopped him because David learned the principle and the power of fresh oil. I want to talk to you about the promise. The promise. How often has a preacher, knowing that he has to preach and feeling so empty? We talked here about, someone mentioned about the months of preparation for the sermons for camp. No, they were months of thinking, what on earth am I going to preach?
Yes.
God help me. There were months of crying out to God saying, Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to preach six times, Lord. And I have no idea what it's going to be. I'm talking to the mother trying to homeschool her children. How often does she come to the place like, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to go forward. This is too big for me. What other choice do you have? She feels overwhelmed. What does she need? She needs fresh oil. Can't get it from the husband. Can't get it from the ladies of church. You got to get it from God. Fresh oil. We've got 6 widows, I believe, in our presence today. God says a lot about watching over the fatherless and the widow. But I know that there came a very hard time in your life. Very hard. You felt forsaken of God. You felt like Asaph, my foot slipping. If I say what I feel, I will stumble somebody. I've got to hold it all in. I can't even share what I feel. I have no doubt. I can tell you God is standing there. He sees you. He's got His horn of oil. He's prepared. He's waiting. He knows what you need. He has made a promise. There's a father trying to lead his home. Lost his way. Lost his vision. Lost his desire. Feels like a failure. Doesn't know what to do next. You have a youth. The world looks pretty bad. I don't know if I want to get married and have kids in this world or not. What am I supposed to do? If I'm going to get a wife and I've got to have a career, but I can't work in so many places because it's all ungodly, wicked trash. How am I going to have a wife? How am I going to have a home? How is it ever going to work? Seems overwhelming. Young lady, where's my future? Does God know I'm here? I'm going to give you some promises this morning. Proverbs 18:1. This was very precious to me as a young man. It says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Remember what Ephesians said? Be being filled. Be being filled. Listen to me. The only thing that's going to get you to endure to the end, your love not waxing cold, is fresh oil. Fresh oil! From the only one who can give fresh oil. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's a promise. Luke 11:5. And he said unto them, which of you, having a friend, shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine is coming in a journey, come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, who's saying this? Jesus is saying this.
Yeah.
Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Listen to this. Listen. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? To them that ask Him. Not just once. Lend me three loaves! I've come to God numerous times and said, Lord, I don't need a stone, I need bread! You promised to give bread. Jacob found himself in a very hard time. He's fleeing from Laban. And now Esau's coming with 400 men. He sent his family over the brook and he got alone with God. An angel appeared and he latched onto him. Wouldn't let him go. Hang on to him. And then morning came and the angel said, let me go. The day break. And then he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. God changed his name to Israel because as a prince, he prevailed. There's a promise. God knows there's going to be times in your life when you feel like you're empty, you're dead, you can't go on. I don't want to live anymore like this. God says, I've got all the oil you need. You've got to ask. You got to knock.
Yes.
Jesus said, He gave us this story. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? This week, we prayed for fresh oil. We prayed for God's blessing for you. God gave us the messages that we prayed for. Redigging the wells. Why? Because the word of reconciliation has been committed unto us. Redigging the wells. The greatest hindrance? Your hinge. What it means to believe as seeing Him who is invisible. Hinge to God's word. Forget those people who want to rob you of your Bible. Your heritage. Good or bad. Self-discipline. What did they believe, that wonderful church in Jerusalem?
Yes.
Courting God. Seeking God. Knowing God. Feeling after God. Our goal as we prayed for fresh oil was to give you fresh oil. To lead you to fresh oil. So, my third point. Fresh oil. Actually, my fourth. Number one, the principle, the power, the promise. But what about the purpose? In Genesis 12:2, we find Abraham. God said, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. If you came, we wanted you to know that fresh oil comes from fresh honesty. Fresh honesty. We want you to know that fresh oil comes from fresh confession. Fresh oil comes from fresh repentance. Fresh oil comes from fresh commitment. Fresh oil comes from fresh surrender. And when you have fresh honesty, fresh confession, fresh repentance, fresh commitment, fresh surrender, you will have fresh oil.
Right.
A fresh vision. Fresh understanding. Fresh understanding of God. A fresh understanding of what He wants you to do. So, having fresh oil is an anointing for God's cause, not your own.
Right.
It's an anointing for God's truth, not your own. It's an anointing for God's accomplishing His program, God's commission, not yours. It's fresh courtship. If you come this week and you've had fresh honesty, and you've had fresh confession, and you've had fresh repentance, and you've had fresh commitment, and you've had fresh surrender, and you've got fresh oil this week, take it home.
Yes.
God didn't give you a fresh anointing for your enjoyment. God didn't give Abraham a blessing so Abraham could just enjoy it. God said, I'm going to bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. The reason that God gives us fresh oil is so that we can minister. We can serve. We can spread it. We can talk about Him. You say, oh, Brother Mark, my position in the kingdom of God right now, yeah, I'm just the dishwasher. You need anointing for that. You know, lately at my house, and I've noticed here, the girls begin washing dishes. Next thing you know, they're singing. The Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Oh, Brother Mark, do we need the anointing of God? Do we need fresh oil to wash the dishes? You absolutely do. Definitely. Because you can stand there and wash the dishes all thinking about yourself, or you can wash those dishes ministering the Spirit of God to other people around you. Sweeping the floor. You will not get anointing for something other than your calling. God's not going to anoint you to fulfill your agenda. God's not going to give you that fresh oil so you can go out and be a basketball star. God's not going to give you that fresh oil so you can make a lot of money. God's not going to give you that fresh oil so you can be popular. Fresh oil comes so you can fulfill His calling in your life. You will get anointed for something else only when that something else is the calling of God. Times change. You know, I find that when God gives me a certain project, a book, I pray about that and God just, He gives me that impetus that talks about in the Bible. You know, I'm not inspired of God, but He gives me that impetus I need to zone in and focus. The thoughts come, the ideas come, and I can feel the help of God. Whereas, when I first think about the subject, I couldn't make a book out of that. I'm empty. It's not there. But then it comes. You who prepare sermons, you know what I'm talking about. Lord, I'm empty. I don't know what I'm going to say. And then as you pray, an idea comes. Oh. And as you begin to look into it, another idea comes. And it begins to come together. It's like, thank you, Lord. The anointing is not a toy for you to play your own games with.
Right.
The anointing is so you can do God's bidding. Mm-hmm. Brother Mark, I don't know. I feel so down and out. I just don't feel like I can get any fresh oil. Maybe you need to find out what God wants you to do.
Yes.
What is God's plan? What is God's calling on my life at this time in my life? Brother Mark, I'm not a preacher. I didn't say just for preachers. Joel says He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Are you a wife? You a mother? You a brother? You a sister? Your father. You're going to try to go it alone without God's oil? You're going to try to be successful in God's kingdom without that anointing? You're going to try to make it on your own? Jesus said in John 15, "For without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit." Why? The oil's flowing. God has a call in your life. Do you know what it is? Do you know what the call of God is on your life? You don't think you have an important part? I think you do. Have you found out what it was? Have you been seeking God for the Holy Spirit so you can be happy? Have you been seeking God? You know why that man wanted bread? It wasn't for himself, was it? He wanted to be hospitable. This was a very important thing, being hospitable. Someone came to him. He was unprepared. He didn't have anything to set before him. He was praying for bread for others. Mm-hmm. You want to know what the most exciting thing is about being a servant of God? Is all the bread that comes through you for others. Mm-hmm. You don't lack bread, but you're not praying for bread for yourself. You're praying for bread for others. And when you're praying for bread for others, you get to enjoy it coming through you. The blessing is there. The oil is there. The power of God is there. The encouragement of God is there. It saves your soul. By me trying to save your soul, God's keeping me going. Fresh oil. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Ever felt that? Ever felt the chill? It's a reality that we all will face. God looks down. Can't use that one. There's a part. Irreducible complexity. If the Holy Ghost is not there, if the Spirit of God is not there, if that anointing's not there, if God's hand is not upon you, you're not a vessel that can be used. God will look on to another vessel. Oh, but Brother Mark, I want God's anointing. I want God's hand on me. For what? Why? What would you do? God filled you with the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do with it? This week, I don't know how many of you have made a fresh commitment, a fresh surrender. But it's not just about you getting to heaven. When I came to the altar that night, I said, "Lord, I'm yours." Immediately I knew, I'm going back to my high school. I go to a high school of almost 3,000 students. Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's a wicked place. I know, I've been one of them. I'm going back there. I'm going to talk to my cowboy friends. I'm going to go talk to the people in Jock Hall, Cholo Hall, Freak Hall, the schoolboy hall, the ones that actually try to get good grades. I'm going back to the high school. I knew God wasn't anointing me. God wasn't putting His Spirit within me. God wasn't calling me just so I could go back and be popular. Right. No, I was going to get the opposite of that. I was going to be the guy that everybody looked at and thought, "What happened to him? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Good friends come and said, "Man, I heard you became a Jesus freak." I had them cuss me out. "I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone." That's the end of that friend. Yeah, it was interesting. I had a 3-year ministry in that high school. You know how many times I had to go back to God and say, I need fresh oil. I feel like I'm getting to the point where I don't care. I don't care about lost souls. I don't care about these people. I don't want to carry my Bible to that school anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore. God was faithful. The fresh oil was always there as long as I was willing to separate myself. Knock, ask, seek. 3 loaves, Lord! Lend me 3 loaves. I don't have anything to set before them. I want you to open back up to Psalm 92. I'd like you to stand with me. I want you to notice as we read this. After this man, possibly David, because of the principle of fresh oil, I believe this psalm was written as an aftermath of one of these times when they were down and they got fresh oil. But I want you to notice the attitude of the anointed, the result of a fresh anointing. God's enemies are His enemies. God's cause is His cause. God's love is His love. I want you to notice that as we read. I'm going to read verse 1. You as a congregation read verse 2. I'll read verse 3. You read verse 4. And we'll go on down through that way. You will be reading the even numbers. I will be reading the odd numbers. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
You see the purpose of the anointing right there? Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound.
For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands.
O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever.
But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, and all the works of iniquity shall be scattered.
My horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You may be seated. Do you understand the attitude of the anointed? He says, thine enemies. And then he says, my enemies. Who are they? The workers of lawlessness. The righteous ultimately will flourish. I want to show forth thy loving kindness. I want to show thy faithfulness every day. I want to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. That is the new mind, the new heart that Asaph got when he got some fresh oil. I wonder how many of you got some fresh oil this week. What are you going to do with it? If you didn't get fresh oil this week, it's because you're looking for something for yourself. You didn't come asking and seeking and knocking. You didn't come with a heart saying, Lord, I need strength. I need guidance. Lord, give me some fresh vision, fresh understanding. Give me some fresh strength, Lord. If you came with that spirit and that heart, you got fresh oil this week. If you came here just to see the boys or see the girls or find something for yourself or, you know, just have a good time, you didn't get no fresh oil. If you came here with a heart to bring glory to your Father and show forth the right ways of the Lord. Lord, help me to show forth the right ways of the Lord. You got fresh oil this week. And you've got fresh purpose. And you've got fresh vision. But how long is it going to last? I don't know. It won't last. One anointing doesn't last your whole life. That's why the Bible says, be being filled. Recently, when we had our first funeral in our new building here, Brother David Williams, you know, we all, it was a hard blow. The older you get, the more hard blows you can remember. The other night when we were singing, someone requested, I might have been Japheth, Sunset and Evening Star. It was at Brother David Black's funeral that I first really tuned into that song. I never had paid much attention to it. Ever since then, it's been one of my favorite hymns. I tell my family, I want that sung at my funeral. When I go the way of all the earth, I want that song sung. I long to see my pilot's face. Some of you have got a long way to go. I'm thankful for all the miles behind me. Some of you have a long way to go. It doesn't matter whether you've got a long way to go or a short way to go. It doesn't matter whether you are the king of Israel or who you are. One thing I can assure you, you won't make it without your love waxing cold. Unless you learn to love this principle. The power and the promise of fresh oil. Fresh oil. I need bread, Lord. I don't have anything to set before Him, Lord. I want to serve You, Lord, but I'm empty. I don't feel like I can. I don't have anything to give. I don't know how to go on. My fire, my zeal, my love is waxing cold. My fire is a flicker. I don't know what to do, Lord. God said, I've got just what you need. But you haven't asked for a while. I don't know where you are in your life. I guarantee you, you all carry burdens. You all have fears. You all have challenges. You all know that nobody understands like your Heavenly Father. But your Father has made promises. And you need to do like Jacob did. And you need to grab that promise and grab onto God and say, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. I don't want to wax cold. I don't want to be dead. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to give up. I don't want to not love you like I should. I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to fail. But I feel like it. I don't feel like going on. I don't know where the strength is to go on. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what to do now. And at this point, I really don't care. And that's what bothers me. Have you ever gone to God like that? I don't care, but I want to care. Have you ever gone to God like that and prayed? Said, Lord, I want to care. I want to love righteousness. I want to hate iniquity. I want to be zealous. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever gone like that and then all of a sudden a thought comes to your mind? A refreshing wave comes to your heart. Have you ever been there? Maybe in the middle of the night, crying out to God, maybe walking down a lonely road. And all of a sudden, I've got a fresh vision. I've got a fresh commission. Mm-hmm. I've got fresh understanding. I know what to do now. Hallelujah! Yeah. You ever been there? Yeah. It's a necessity for an overcomer. It's something between you and God that nobody else can enter into. But if you don't have it, if you don't get out there and find it, if you let yourself grow cold, you let yourself grow hard, you let yourself stop caring, the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And God went looking for another man. Let's stand together. Camp Week has been for the very purpose of giving you a fresh vision, a fresh anointing, fresh understanding. We've been ministering the Spirit of God by ministering the Word of God. Have you been receiving it? Are you going to take it home with you? Take it home. Take the truth of God. If you've come and you've got a fresh commitment and you've got a fresh anointing, keep it going. You're not going to run on one anointing all next year. You're going to have to get fresh oil. Maybe daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Oftentimes I pray, give me this day my daily Holy Spirit. Daily bread, Lord, daily bread. Someday, that call, sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning bar when I put out to sea. The moaning bar was a trouble to shipmasters because that meant the tide was low and there was a sandbar and you could hear the water going over the sandbar. It was making sound and foam. That's where that word comes from in the song. The next one says, but moving tide asleep, too full for sound or foam. In other words, when I reach the end, when I come to the finish line of my life, when I'm about to cross over, put out to sea, per se, as a song, that there's not a moaning bar. That's a bad omen. That's not a good sign. That means there's trouble. That means there's not peace. But let the tide be full, too full for sound or foam. When that which drew from out the deep returns to its home. Fresh oil is the key. Fresh oil keeps your lamp burning. Fresh oil. So when that day comes, there'll be no moaning bar when you put out to sea. There'll be peace. Peace. And you'll be looking forward to seeing your pilot's face. But between here and there, fresh oil is the key. Let's bow our heads for prayer. This is the last message of our camp week. It's all about you and your soul and your enduring and your overcoming. Truth prevailing over error. Righteousness prevailing. Showing forth the righteousness of the Lord. That's what it's all about. And that's what it's been about all week long. Is there someone here today? The future. You don't have a vision. Your vision has waned. Your zeal has waned. You need a fresh commission, a fresh project from the Lord, a fresh direction, fresh guidance, so you can have fresh power, fresh joy, fresh excitement. Because right now you're just making it. God knows who you are. I've just given you the recipe to get that fresh vision, that fresh zeal, fresh understanding, a fresh purpose, a fresh ministry, and that's for everybody. To show forth the right ways of the Lord, to show forth the righteousness of our God. Titus, come on up here. We're going to sing one verse of invitation. If you need to come to the altar this morning and just say, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Titus is going to lead us in one verse of invitation. We're not going to prolong this. If God is speaking to you, the worst thing you can do is resist. If the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you, God wants to give you fresh oil, but you, there's something in the way. Let's take care of it this morning. Because I want you to go home with a fresh anointing, a fresh ministry, and I want you to take your anointing home with you. I want you to go home with fresh oil, fresh vision, fresh purpose. Titus, go ahead.
Have thine own way.
Lord, I need bread. I need that fresh anointing, Lord.
Have thine own way.
I need a fresh vision.
Thou
fresh strength. Waxing cold. Enduring or waxing cold. A root of bitterness or full of the Holy Spirit. One more verse and we're done.
Have thine own way.
This year be 58. I gave my life to the Lord at 15. Only the Lord knows the battles. Only the Lord knows the times I wanted to quit. Only the Lord knows the times I felt lost, didn't know which way to go, discouraged, confused. I can tell you there's only one way, only one way for you to reach the finish line with the excitement that you had when you were first born again. That same zeal and even a more mature and stronger and more educated zeal when you first came to the Lord and gave your heart to God the first time and the oil was poured upon you and you went out a new person? Has that waned? Is it gone? You want to reach the finish line that way? The way you began? Do you have as much joy and zeal for the Lord now as you did when you first met Him? More, possibly? Or has it waxed cold? Fresh oil. Fresh oil is your only hope. Somebody have a word to share before we go to prayer and take communion?
Reminded me of the dead battery illustration. We can come here and get our battery all charged up, but unless we go home and have a wall charger at home, it's not going to last very long.
Especially if you're using the drill, right?
Right.
Yeah.
A recharging of a battery. When it's dead, it's dead. When it's about dead, it's very weak. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. Only God knows where you're at. He knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows when you feel like, I wish it was all over. I don't want to go on. I've lost my purpose. It's not necessary. There's keys. There's recipes. There's formulas in the Word of God to get through that, to overcome that, to go beyond that. It may take time to heal a big wound. David had some big wounds. It may take a little longer hanging on. And that angel says, let me go. He said, no, not till you bless me. But you can do it. God wants you to. God wants you to get him out of bed and give you the bread. He told the story. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Amen. You know, we don't like to find ourselves in a position where a friend shows up and we don't have anything to step before him. But if it was through no carelessness of our own, we were in that situation, it's a good experience to have occasionally.
Right.
Be able to go and ask for help and receive help and know it wasn't due to me. It was due to the generosity of the one I asked for help from.
Right. Right.
But now if you knew you just wasted your last loaf just before you came, it's like, I'm here, but it's my own fault. I mean, I'm in a tight spot, but it's my own fault, and it's a whole lot worse.
You may have to knock a little harder.
You ought to.
Yep. You may have to knock a little harder and a little longer. Humble yourself a little more. But God has the bread and He wants to give it. Let's pray.
Well, I have an illustration for us this morning. It's a little poem I remember from a storybook from some years back, and I was able to find it again. The Blind Man and the Elephant. There were six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side. Okay, we've got the elephant somewhere in here, this man. Comes up against the elephant, at once began to bawl. God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall. Okay, so he's picturing a wall. That's what he thinks an elephant is like. All right. The second, feeling of the tusk, okay, he gets to the tusk. Cried, ho, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp. To me, tis very clear. This wonder of an elephant is very like a spear. So think of a spearhead there. The third approached the animal and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands. Okay, we've got a trunk here. He got onto that trunk. Thus boldly up he spake. "I see," said he, "the elephant is very like a snake." So you got this snake here. That's what he thinks an elephant is like. The fourth reached out his eager hand and fell about the knee. So we find the knee up here. That's what, well, blind people can't see what I'm drawing anyway, so it's for those who can see, and maybe that's worse because you know what an elephant's supposed to look like. But anyway, he fell about the knee. "What most this wondrous beast is like is very plain," said he. "'Tis clear enough. The elephant is very like a tree." All right. We got the trunk there, and that's what I'm feeling right now. Up top, there's a nice bushy bunch of leaves. Hey, who can question it? The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear. Okay, you got it. A nice elephant ear here. Said, "Even the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact, who can? This marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." Be one of those handheld things that people use to fan themselves. Or they used to. You grab hold of the handle and you fan yourself. The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than seizing on the swinging tail. All right, somewhere back here you got this tail hanging down. That's what he got a hold of. That swinging tail that fell within his scope. "See, I see," said he, "the elephant is very like a rope." So you got a rope. And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right and all were in the wrong. Few questions to ponder. Did they carefully seek to know what an elephant was like?
Yes.
And no. From everything I've experienced, an elephant is very like a snake. Because all I felt was the trunk. But I can't deny what I felt, all right? The other guy's like, snakes, no way. This thing's sharp, hard, pointed, there's no way. A spear, maybe. The other one's like, you know what? It's so broad, flat. Spear, no way. I know what I felt. A wall. A wall would be what it's most like. It's like, a wall? There's no way. That felt most like a rope. You're crazy. So, in a way, they did not carefully seek to know. And in a way, they did seek to want to know and seek to know. Because they very carefully felt the part they had found.
Right.
But they were not serious to know, is there more to the elephant than just what I happen to encounter?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So did they see, really want to know what an elephant was like? Or did they just want to satisfy their curiosity and go on their way? After all, it doesn't take long to figure out my little piece. I've got other things to do today. But who had the best understanding of what an elephant truly was? Well, really none of them. We understand that an elephant was all of those things plus a whole lot more. They had no idea the vastness of the animal they were dealing with. What is an elephant like? If you were telling somebody who had never seen an elephant what an elephant is like, what would you liken it to? Well, there's really nothing else like an elephant. I mean, an elephant is kind of unique. So you could say, well, an elephant is kind of like a snake, but there's a whole lot more to an elephant than a snake. It's got a little bit of everything on it, but everything that you experience, but it's a whole lot more. Which one truly experienced the elephant? Well, they all experienced a small part of the elephant, but none of them had a correct understanding of what the whole elephant was like. Okay. Keep that in mind. It's an illustration of something more important. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it was a wonderful place to live. And then one day, Satan came along, and he got to talking with Eve. And Eve, do you realize that God is withholding good from you? God has put this restraint on you to not eat of this certain tree, but it's because He knows that there's good that you will receive from it if you do it, and He just likes to keep you under His thumb. You actually can be in His position. You don't have to take orders from Him. You can decide for your own self. You can handle it. God knows it. That's why He told you not to do it, just so He can be Lord over you. We understand that Eve was deceived by that. Believed that, yes, indeed, God's motive was not good. We understand that Adam was not deceived, but he went ahead and ate anyway with Eve. Likely because, well, he feared what might happen to his friendship with Eve if he told her no. There might be a separation there. So, to avoid that possibility of separation there and the pain of that, he went ahead and went along with her and disobeyed God, even though it seems like he knew better. He didn't believe the lie. But we find that distrust of God, the restraints that He puts on us, it's like He's just trying to withhold good from us. That distrust is something that's rooted very deeply in us. It's something that we that has plagued the human race ever since. And it's something that God wants to eradicate. That distrust of God. We are very quick to trust ourselves, even though if we're honest, we know we've made many mistakes in the past. But we're very quick to just trust ourselves. Well, this morning, in Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The question comes up, please Him? Do I have to? Do I have to please Him? That's the problem. That's the attitude problem.
Right.
Why would you not want to please Him?
Right.
Because you don't trust Him. Okay. Well, yeah. I just please Him enough just so He won't punish me. It's like, okay, you've got problems. That is your carnal nature, a distrust of the goodness of God. Must believe that He is, His existence. Creation testifies of the existence of God, okay? The devils believe in the existence of God. They believe and tremble. But there's another part to it. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's think about that this morning. Let's talk about living by faith. He is a rewarder. That means seeking Him is a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
It is well worth the effort. Diligently. Think about carefully. Carefully seeking all the facts. And then the facts are the determining factor. Not, well, what about Eve? Is this going to cause separation with Eve? No. Seeking all the facts and operating accordingly. Seek Him. Not just seeking what He can do for me. Not just seeking an escape from punishment, but seek Him. Value Him for what He is, more than for what He can do for me. If I just seek Him because of what He can do for me, then I'm going to what? Seek to do the minimum amount that I need to in order to acquire what I want. But if I'm seeking Him for what He is, when will I achieve that? When will I totally find all of Him? How soon will I feel the trunk and say, well, I sought Him and I know what He's like? And no, when you seek Him, it's like, okay, I felt the trunk. Let's continue up the trunk. Is there more? There's more, isn't there?
Amen.
Yes, there's more. But faith, think of faith as the confidence in God's existence and value. In other words, I believe He exists, okay? But that it's valuable to seek Him. It's valuable to find Him. It's valuable beyond any value of anything else. The carnal nature that we naturally have wants to be all about me now. It's a lack of confidence in Him and His goodness. It's like, well, He's just trying to lord over me. I'll do what it takes to keep him happy. But faith says, I'm going to seek him. I'm going to seek him for the rest of my life. I understand that that's the best investment I could ever make.
Amen.
So there's a change of mind towards God. Is he the problem? Is he what holds me back from achieving all that I could? Or is he the solution? And then, how much solution do I want? Just how bad a condition do I think I'm in? And so how much of a cure do I think I need? So think about faith like that. Believe in the existence of God, but also the firm confidence in the fact that he is a rewarder, a generous rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we'll understand a little bit more before the morning's over, I think, exactly what it means to seek him. That's my desire. In 2 Timothy, there's a few verses we want to look at.